At any given moment, there's often a current legal case in the news occupying American attention. At the moment, it's two high-profile cases that involve children and women. There's the Casey Anthony murder trial, and then the case involving former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn and charges of sexual assault. These all invariably involve some kind of media frenzy, some kind of, in many cases, wall-to-wall coverage of the victims, the alleged perpetrators, and the details of the case. This morning, we have a new headline about Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He could face new charges. In France, a French novelist, Tristan Bannon, says she'll file a criminal complaint against Strauss-Kahn for attempted rape in 2003. That's the latest twist in a case that's dominated the headlines for a couple weeks. Joining us now, Linda Fairstein. Fairstein worked in the Manhattan DA's office from 1972 to 2002, prosecuting sex crimes that focus on women and children, currently a novelist and attorney. Linda, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
You know, let's talk about these cases and what implications they have in the treatment of victims first. You, in working in the DA's office, you worked with the victims very often. And we are again seeing this sort of, coverage of these cases in which, in Dominique Strauss-Kahn's case, people attribute a person's past history to whether or not that has implications about the validity of their testimony. Do you see that happening?
I see it happening, as lead-in said, about the media in general and therefore affecting the public. I think always in high-profile cases is the tendency to take the attention away from the facts of a particular case. So the prosecutors and the defense team have to be aware of what's spinning in the media, but they've really got to focus on the facts of a particular case despite the headlines.
Do you think that the media coverage has gotten more intense on cases like this? I mean, we've had high-profile cases that dominated news going back to the 1920s. You could say that there was a media frenzy, or Sacco and Vanzetti. O.J. Simpson is a great example. Do you think it's gotten worse?
You're absolutely right, and we've always had them. I think what's made it worse probably is the Internet. This weekend, friends from the DA's office in regard to DSK were forwarding me stories because even papers like the New York Times, the stories online go up 3, 4, 5 times a day. So I think the feedings of the frenzy are frequently happening throughout the day. We didn't used to have gavel-to-gavel coverage like we do in Casey Anthony, except in the rare once-a-year O.J. Simpson kind of case. It's much more common now, and entire TV shows are devoted to covering these cases. So I think the intensity, the frequency, the rapid way in which stories break and are disseminated changes it a bit.
Well, how does it change it? You think this kind of coverage, and you're talking about the speed at which information gets disseminated and then is tweeted and then passed on through millions of people, does that actually affect the way cases are prosecuted and tried and the way the law is implemented?
Well, I don't think it affects the way the law is implemented at all. I think that it does affect the way cases are handled to the extent that both prosecution and defense teams end up spending way too much time putting out fires, incorrect leaks, leaks in general, but there's a lot of misinformation out. How do you control it when somebody starts leaking DNA results or medical exam results? So when you're trying to focus to get the job done, but you've got a whole sideshow going on. A big office like the Manhattan DA's office has the luxury of a public relations team who can help to deal with that. But the reality is most prosecutors around this country don't have that kind of staffing.
Indeed. And some of that was described by the judge in the Casey Anthony trial yesterday down in Florida, suggesting that the alternate jurors would have to go to a special location to keep the media away from them because the bookers had come to town. Linda Fairstein worked in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office from 1972 to 2002. I have one question to ask you, Linda, about the narrative that seems to make this relatively unique. In both cases of Dominique Strauss-Kahn and Casey Anthony, it appears that both defendants have used the media in some way to either bolster their identity, in Dominique Strauss-Kahn's case, to be this global economic figure. In Casey Anthony's case, to try to actually get sympathy, at least is what the prosecution is saying, to divert from a crime she herself committed. And that there's a sense that all the people out there watching are saying the pendulum is swinging back. You used us. There's this kind of huge jury out there of watchers and listeners, and it's directed specifically at this narrative of having used the media. Do you think that bears any relevance to how this is either being covered or what the precedents from these cases will be?
I'm sure it does, because smart attorneys, especially since, you know, well, trials like Lindbergh, people listened apparently on the radio and were glued to the radio. But with television, it's very common for the defense to stand on the courthouse steps and spin things. In DSK, it's not only that, it's the victim's civil lawyer who's standing on the steps making statements about the case that the prosecutor would never make, wanting to try the case in the courtroom. And in the Anthony case, the jury is sequestered, so you hope these things have no impact on jurors making the decisions. But in every case, prospective jurors are infused with this kind of information and misinformation from the beginning. And yes, many do resent the spin. Many are hungry for it. Many don't have the resentment because they think they naively think they're getting the facts that they would get in a courtroom.
We're speaking with Linda Fairstein, who worked in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office from 1972 to 2002, and now a novelist and attorney. You know, Linda, there are ways in which the media and the speed of information dissemination actually helps prosecutors and helps law enforcement, and that's because, A, they can get information out in the case of, say, Amber Alerts, and B, sometimes, through all of these cases becoming so well-known, sometimes new witnesses can come forward, right? You can get new information that you may not have gotten had the information not reached all the way up to the West Coast from New York.
Absolutely. It's a two-edged sword, and I think that we all would like to think, speaking of my prosecutorial hat, that we're better off without it, but those things do happen. I mean, I've had the case where, because of the widespread media attention, somebody called from Switzerland, a case that otherwise would have gone completely unnoticed, but there were facts about it and a sort of high profile nature of the defendant's job, not his name, and people began to call in and say, I have emails from him, he's done this before, I can prove what his likes and dislikes are in hurting women, for example. So
and in the case of these two trials, all these people who called in and got involved may get their own shows eventually.
Right. So. Sad but true, John.
So, Linda Fairstein, what's your takeaway from this? The media coverage helps or hurts these cases?
I think overall the picture is that it usually hurts. And can it ever be helpful? Yes. Do you hope at best as a prosecutor that it's neutral?
Linda Fairstein worked in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office for 30 years, prosecuting sex crimes that focused on women and children. Currently a novelist and attorney. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thanks to you both.
We want to throw this out to listeners. What do you think? Do you think the obsession with court cases, legal cases, whether it be O.J. Simpson all the way to current cases, do you think it helps or hurts our legal system? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org.
Or just comment on either of the cases we spoke about there, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, new allegations, and the Casey Anthony trial has gone to the jury. All week long, we're also talking about your America. We want you to join the conversation. Tell us about a personal detail or a story from your life that says, this is what my America means to me. Listener Mrs. McCray from Atlanta writes, my America is rooted in its African heritage and is so very American at the same time. I'm from the Deep South. I love my blackness both deeply and in tandem with my Americanness.
Wow, that's a great one. Give us your America, your personal stories about what it means to be an American. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or again, leave your comment at thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.